Okay, welcome to Sundays with Tamsin and Dan. This is Tamsin Granger and
Dan Abuhoff.
And basically, we're just going to talk about what we're seeing in the New York Times. I guess we could go do other newspapers too. This is right, Dan?
Yeah, we're going to start with the New York Times.
And we're just going to see where it takes us.
Where it takes us, exactly. Okay.
So, what's in the Times today? Oh.
Well, the news section. We'll start with the news. We only have one copy we're going to have to share here. And then the Times is perhaps appropriately focused on the end of the Obama administration. And there are more in the endless series of articles about what the Obama presidency meant or didn't mean for the Republic. And that's fine. But
yeah, we don't care about that.
No, I would say we wouldn't care.
No, I don't think we want to talk about it.
No, it's right? a lot of people talk. There are many highly paid people during the week who talk about
that. On the television, exactly. Talking about that.
We see instead on the first page of the papers an article about how the investors in Jersey Boys have made a fortune.
Good for them. Did you see Jersey? We didn't see Jersey Boys.
We just saw the movie Jersey Boys.
Wait a minute. Ellie, did you see Jersey Boys?
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ellie.
Ellie's our engineer, by the way. Ellie Suttmeyer. Engineer to the stars.
Exactly, yes. But we saw the movie. In any event, it's not about the virtues of Jersey Boys as a piece of art, just that it is the exception that proves the rule. It's an article about many investors, including at least one dentist, made 12 or 13 times their investment because Jersey Boys has earned, you know, millions, tens of millions perhaps, of dollars. And they're all much wealthier for it now that it's completed its run.
Okay, what about the affluent Chinese seeking butlers?
No, we're not interested in that.
We're not interested in that?
No.
Okay. This is after seeing Downton Abbey or something. Everybody wants a butler. All right, so that's all the news, right? Anything else in the news?
No. We ought to tell people who didn't get a chance to read the Jersey Boy article that you don't invest in Broadway plays. That's the point of it. Notwithstanding the many times your investment, it's the exception that proves the rule. That's what the article is all about. Everybody who invested then invested it. In another play, and they gave a lot of that money back. So don't do it, even though they succeeded there.
By the way, we have nothing against Broadway plays.
No, we're for them.
Yeah, we're big believers. Yeah. What's the best play you've seen this year?
The best play I've seen this year? That's too hard a question. We just saw... what did we just see? We just saw... Candide, which I think you consider that a play. And although right before
wasn't
that...
wasn't on Broadway.
We saw The Great Comet. That was an interesting comparison.
Josh Groban.
I've already prepared a comparison of that.
Oh, really?
Or actually, you know, it's a more interesting comparison. Hamilton and The Great Comet, I thought. Which did you think was better, Hamilton or The Great Comet?
Hamilton makes me cry.
Yeah, okay. Well, then now of...
Ellie saw Hamilton. You see Hamilton? Yeah. Okay.
But you didn't see The Great Comet?
No, not yet.
Okay. And what did you think of Hamilton?
I loved it.
All right. Everybody loves Hamilton. No one does not love Hamilton.
That's true.
And
and rightfully so.
Rightfully
the
so.
The man's a genius.
He is a genius.
The man's a genius. Did you see In the Heights?
I haven't seen it, but I've listened to the soundtrack a million times.
Right.
And it's fantastic as well.
Yes. Yeah. He really is a genius. And I know about geniuses.
Yeah.
So I teach art history, so I read about geniuses all the time. I talk about them. I think he's a genius.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. I do think it's... it was interesting to me just to compare Great Comet and Hamilton because, in a sense... They're both trying to do something roughly the same thing, which is to take a band of history, a piece of historical background, and dramatize it.
Just so people know, The Great Comet is based on
War and Peace.
Tolstoy's War and Peace.
Right.
Yeah.
And Russia, which is heading toward the revolution, and it's just a slice of that. And Hamilton, of course, is the story of the American Revolution. So there is some similarity there. They're both musicals, and they both use what I'll call as unorthodox musical forms, ones that you would not think have much of a relationship to the content that they're dealing with. Hamilton, strangely, succeeds wonderfully in doing that. Great Comet, kind of mixed results. Doesn't quite do it. I mean, it doesn't connect. It connects as, you know, the musical numbers are... interesting, and some of the music very exciting and very good, and Josh Groban's fabulous, but it doesn't connect with the material. So whereas Hamilton has the ballast of the material in which you feel that the music really advances the storyline and the undercurrent of history, Great Comet, it doesn't. You don't walk out of the Great Comet saying, I have a real sense of what those Russians were going through as they approached the revolution. It's not that at all.
But it's a great fun.
Great fun. Funny
performance.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's full of life. Yeah. The set itself is very interesting, right. Very all no, over it, the place.
It's not a horrible thing to say about something that's not quite as good as Hamilton. But yeah. I would say
it still makes it pretty darn good.
Yes.
Okay, so see that. And, you know, if you find the next Hamilton, invest in that.
Though. Yes, that's the bottom line. But exactly, even more than Jersey Boys.
Right.
So, go ahead. What were you pointing at?
Nothing. That's it for that section.
You're looking at
how
the
about
sports?
Sports? Yeah.
Nothing in the sports.
Nothing in the sports? This is Mr. Sports, by the way.
I am Mr. Sports, but the Times is not. The Times is perhaps is famous for its lack of a sports section. And that would be grist for the mill, perhaps another broadcast. But the Times is sort of, when it writes about football, it usually just has a large article about concussions, and they don't disappoint this weekend, playoff weekend, a large article about concussions. Not much about playoff football. An article about how one of the players doesn't get along with his family. That's, again, as close as Times comes to football. Times is, it's written by a bunch of folks who are no longer interested in sports. But that's okay. They have other sections.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Maybe they have something about, I don't know, cricket or something like that. No.
No. I didn't read that part.
Nothing worth reading. Yeah. Okay. Arts and Leisure.
Yes. Arts and Leisure.
What did you see in the Arts and Leisure?
Not much.
Are you going to go see War Paint? War Paint is about Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth Arden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's being played by Patti LuPone as Helena Rubinstein, Christine Ebersole as Elizabeth Arden. So is that's not on your list?
No. No, I don't know too much about it. I know it got reviewed.
It's like Diva versus Diva.
Yeah, I guess that's the idea.
In more ways than one.
Right. But it's, I don't know. The buzz on that is...
The buzz. We're lukewarm. The buzz, Elliot.
Yeah.
No, what's the buzz?
It's lukewarm.
Lukewarm. Yeah. Lukewarm buzz. Okay.
We'll see. But, I don't have too much hopes for that. And the other article, lead article, is on August Wilson. August Wilson's plays. And we just saw Fences. And... had very high hopes for Fences. Interesting trailer. Denzel Washington, Viola Davis. And, it's all a matter of taste. But the truth of the matter is, not very good.
Well, the acting was good.
It's strange to watch something in which the acting is very good. The dialogue is very good. The sets are good. A lot of the production values are very good. The play does not come across. And the question is it because... there's always a challenge in filming a play, because the play that's as vibrant on a stage is inert in the film, and that's possible. Or is the play just not very good? Or, put another way, somewhat old-fashioned. I can't take that apart. I suspect the play is not that great, because it seemed somewhat cliched, relying on really pretty standard conventions of drama and melodrama. So that the actors couldn't really break out of that. But again, it had the disadvantage of being a filmed play. But the bottom line is, I would have thought it would be one of the major motion pictures of the year, but I really can't say that.
What are the major motion pictures?
That is easy. The major motion pictures of the year are...
Yeah?
Moonlight.
Okay. Who forced you at gunpoint to see Moonlight?
No one. I was very interested in seeing Moonlight.
You were not. You were not.
Moonlight.
Not even close.
Moonlight, Manchester by the Sea,
right,
and La La Land.
Okay.
And in any other year, you'd say those are three superior motion pictures. Anyone could be best picture, except, again, it's all personal opinion, but Head and Shoulders, La La Land is fantastic, even though I enjoy the other movies also.
You know, this is because he loves jazz.
No.
La La Land is about
jazz. We don't have to go into
people
La La Land.
Not,
we can go into La La Land another time. But anyway, the real bottom line here is those are three excellent pictures. Three excellent pictures. And it's not every year that you have three excellent pictures to see. And you do here. And maybe more. We haven't seen every single movie.
No.
But those are three excellent movies.
No. But there are more pictures I want to see. But I guess... It's next year's pictures at this point, right?
I don't know what you want to see.
I want to see A Monster Calls.
That's last year's pictures.
That's last year? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I want to see that.
And you have to find somebody 12 years old, maybe, to go with
all
you.
All right. So maybe I have friends.
Okay,
fine. I have
do
some
that.
Friends.
Okay.
I'm not stuck with only people my own age.
Okay.
I can do that.
And that's a good thing to have.
Tony Erdman, I want to see that.
Yes, I want to see that too. Yeah. That's a foreign film. Yeah.
Tony Erdman, do you know about Tony Erdman, Ellie?
No.
Where is it made?
I don't remember. I thought it was
a
Scandinavian
film. Scandinavian.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it got, you know,
it's basically about a father embarrassing his daughter,
which is always
his professional daughter.
Okay. Exactly.
So, you know, and they say it's goofy, but, you know, hilarious but poignant.
Right. And it's supposedly a send up of, you know, as you say, professional daughter, standard work a day, working in an office, and how that was quite meaningful to her, but from his perspective, it's kind of silly.
The dry, colorless life.
Yeah.
And her dad. You know, I guess
her wacky dad undermine that and sort of shake her out of it. Who knows? We haven't seen the movie, but it was a darling of the film festivals. I think it won Best Picture at a couple of film festivals, and it's getting some play. I mean, there are other movies too.
Yeah, there are. I wanted Sadie to see that movie. Sadie's our daughter.
Yes,
But she doesn't have a wacky dad.
That's right.
Maybe she would be insulted by, you know.
She wouldn't get it. The idea about being humiliated by her dad is so foreign to Sadie that she'd be sitting in the film slack-jawed.
Are you noting the irony in his voice?
She wouldn't get anything out of the film. She'd be looking at everyone else saying, when does this movie end? She'd be putting her phone on saying, there's nothing realistic about this film. I can't get into it.
Right.
So she'd be a poor candidate to see that movie. And the real drama in the Pope movie is
it's not a movie.
I'm sorry, this is a show which is called The New Pope.
We've moved on to the golden age of television.
That's right. Yeah, the only drama.
Do you know we're in a golden age of television?
Yes.
It's amazing. Absolutely. It's amazing.
The only drama, if I can go back to the theme of The New Pope, by a guy, a director, a great director, did The Great Beauty, great favorite of both of ours.
Yes, that's a great. Did you see The Great Beauty?
Great movie.
No.
You're killing Ellie Hillary.
She
keeps saying, no. Ellie, just jump in when you've seen something.
Okay.
I'll say the start. But the point about the movie.
It would be hard to say. It's an Italian movie, and
it's super.
It came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, you can't describe it. It's indescribable.
It's indescribable. And I loved it.
It's up there. Let me put it this way. It's up
2013.
Up there with La La Land. It's that good. But the thing about the new Pope. The drama is how you can get it if you don't get HBO. We don't get HBO, so you tell me you think we can get it. We shall find out. That might be a challenge.
Yeah, now you're showing your age. Ellie is just sitting there going,
I have
my
HBO.
God.
But we don't have it.
But there are ways to get these things. Can, everybody sees everything now.
The way to get that is you visit someone who has HBO.
And no,
you
see I don't think that's
at 9 o'clock at night, you say, is this time for the show?
Anyway.
Yeah, all right.
Jude Law.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
We haven't seen it.
Weird guy.
Yeah.
Addicted to Cherry Coke.
Cherry Coke. Yeah.
And
doesn't say addicted. He's take it easy.
It does.
He has Cherry Coke for breakfast.
That's a way it describes it.
I know people have Cherry Coke for breakfast. It's not that strange.
I'm not saying addictions are strange. People have them.
You can have it without being addicted, but we didn't see it.
That's
yet.
How they describe it.
Okay.
Well, I'm dying to see it.
Okay.
Because, you know.
It's about the Pope.
Well, and
Cherry Coke.
I teach art history, so I know about popes.
And Jude Law. Okay, fine.
I don't know about Jude Law that much.
Okay.
Why do we like Jude Law?
I thought you were more interested. It's it looks good.
I mean, he's
I like the director.
Not hard to look at, no, but other than that, I don't know.
I like the director. We'll report on this when we see the show. We have nothing to report on. We haven't seen it. Okay.
Okay. But what have we seen? The Crown. Do you watch The Crown?
I haven't seen it yet.
Crown.
What did I tell you about it? Ellie, just jump in when you've seen something.
Okay? I will. There's a lot of things that I need to.
You're wasting broadcast time.
Believe me, we haven't seen more than you haven't seen.
We're killing it. It's not. We're giving a contrary impression here.
What about Stranger Things?
Not yet.
No, okay.
you're battering this girl. She's going to leave. She's going to walk out. What else haven't you seen?
Yeah.
I do have a friend whose big thing is he wants to write, after he retires, a movie review. Column called Movies I Haven't Seen. And
hilarious.
There's also going to be a subcolumn called Movies I Won't See in the Future. And between the two of them, it covers a large ground. I mean, there are more movies he hasn't seen than movies anyone has seen. So he has a large territory to write about. All right, so what do you got? What's your next one?
Sunday Review. The Obama Years?
Yes, The Obama Years. We're back to the Obama years. Yeah, okay.
No, I think everybody's
listen,
talking about
that. I'm an Obama fan. I like Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, again, nothing that, it's not that there's nothing of substance here, it's just nothing terribly new, right? But it's certainly an occasion to look back, I guess, I suppose. But what they have in here, besides Obama, which again is not new news, you have the article about sugar being bad for you, which I think is not new news, or is that, in your mind, new news? Sugar being terrible for you.
Well, that's not what the article is about. The article is about the sugar industry kind of promoting that it's
right
not too bad for you.
Right.
And comparing that to studies funded by the sugar industry and comparing it to studies funded by the tobacco industry to kind of lead people to believe that these things were not as harmful as... Mm-hmm. People might want you to think.
Yeah. Well, let's just sticking with the sugar industry for the moment. I mean, I think that this particular article doesn't really inform you very much about the studies or non-studies. I think the topic is notionally about how people were misled or not misled. But I think that story is interesting enough in itself, the notion that even I think in the standard food pyramid that the American authorities put out over the years, there was a lack of sensitivity to the difficulties with sugar and more of a promotion of sugar than there should have been. And this is just emblematic of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The notion that, you know, the whole cereal lobby was supporting the notion of it's much better to be eating products that had sugar in them than protein for breakfast, is that kind of thing.
Well, the article is speaking to the idea that all calories,
I saw that, yeah.
Convention that all calories are the same.
Right.
Okay, so that calories you consume from sugar are no better or worse for you than calories you can consume from kale or beef or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it answered that question. I mean,
no, it didn't answer that question. The article says we need to do research that looks into that because basically research such as that funded by the sugar industry was trying to avoid coming to that, to avoid contradicting.
And this article, by its four corners, leaves open the possibility that research will conclude that, in fact, that the calories from kale are just as bad for you as calories from, popsicles. And who knows? You would think that they'd have enough to talk about by the fact that popsicles have more calories than kale, but they don't seem satisfied with that in this article, which kind of surprised me. But in any event, there have certainly been a lot of stories about the difficulties and the problems that come from sugar being underappreciated.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an odd article because it didn't really focus on
right.
the idea that these companies were funding research that would show them in a positive light,
right.
Just like the tobacco companies. And, as a result, I think as a result, we have these huge increases in obesity and type 2 diabetes. But, mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. The only other thing there's an article here about Ivanka Trump not really being a true feminist. Which is not a shock to me, but apparently is causing some upset in some quadrants. I don't know why. But the principal conclusion that one draws from that article is it is easier to live in this country with money than without money. And that's not new news either, I don't think. But
so you're saying it says it's easier to be a feminist if you have money?
I think it's easier to say the kind of things that Ivanka Trump says about the fact that she feels that she can put motherhood first and foremost and then deal with her career even simultaneously when you have money that gives you help, as opposed to someone who is primarily, who might be living without a partner trying to raise a child, or with a partner who is not helping raise the children. And when there's a lack of money, there's a lot of difficulties created by those situations.
So I don't get it. She has a lot of nerve, this girl, being a feminist, because she's so rich?
No. She's not. I don't know. They're calling out Ivanka Trump. They're just pointing out to us that she's her brand of so-called feminism is not particularly useful. That it doesn't...
Wouldn't any of it be useful?
Well, I don't know. But it's important that people, keep track of who's the real feminist and who's the not real feminist, because the rest of us are not going to fall behind on that. But there are people willing to devote their time to doing that kind of classification, and that's what they're doing.
All right, so let's look at the style section.
Sure.
Because I know the style section is your favorite section.
I was going to ask you a question about the style section. Were you going to talk about the Michelle Obama, or are you going to talk about
something
else?
I will, but first I want to do something else. Sure, We're not talking about the meat sheet.
No, go ahead.
Ellie, do you know what the meat sheet is?
No.
Killing her. This is...
I don't know if anybody calls it that all anymore. It's the weddings.
Oh,
the wedding
okay.
announcements.
Yeah, I
just
didn't know
what
it was called.
I
don't
know.
Yeah.
I always
say
heard it was called the...
Say to Tamsin, yes, I know about it, but I'm not going to talk about it.
We're not talking about that. I mean, it's rarely interesting.
So what is it? Okay. And yet, there's more your turn to. What is it you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the social cues column.
I didn't see that. Who wrote that?
Okay, so Philip Galanis.
Oh, Philip. He used to be... a lawyer at that point. Go ahead.
Used to be a lawyer,
right.
And now he gives advice. And people write in, like, right. Dear Abby, with right. questions, okay? So somebody writes in and says they're spending a fortune sending their kid to an Ivy League college.
Right.
All right? Over the holidays, he came home and told us that he loves his agricultural science class and wants to volunteer at a sustainable farm over the summer.
So far,
excuse
so good.
Me, but I am not paying $60,000 a year after taxes for him to become a farmer. My wife tells me to relax. His interests will probably change. He's only a freshman. But what if they don't? How should I handle this?
Well, let me give you the giveaway in that statement, first of all.
What?
When someone says, I'm spending X thousands of dollars after taxes, you're talking about a certain way of looking at the world. So you're dealing with someone who's very financially oriented.
Right.
It's an odd turn of phrase, put it that way. But so go ahead. So what's your feeling about that?
No, I want to know what your feeling is about that.
I think it's funny.
You think it's funny?
I think.
Well, how do you feel as a... father sending kids to college and whatever result comes out of it.
I think unless you've had spent some serious time programming your children before you send them to college, there's a risk they're going to end up in something that you don't find sufficiently financially rewarding. If you don't realize that when they go to school, and you're a little short-sighted.
But you can understand people saying, all right, I'm sending my kid to Harvard so that they can make connections and be... one of the world's powers.
No,
of
I can't.
Like
I can't
it,
understand
no?
anybody sending their kid that. I think when you're sending a kid to college, you don't say, "Let me think about this investment. It's going to be X thousand dollars a year. Let me think about how much money they're going to earn in the future. Let's do the present valuation of that and compare the return." I don't think that's the idea.
I don't know.
Think that's the
I
plan.
Think some people.
No, unless what this person is objecting to is the fact that they feel they have to continue to support their child forever, and I don't see that in this article. There are many ways to make a living. It may be even short of what this fellow had in mind before he sent his kid to college, and yet the kid will be sustainable. So, not sympathetic.
But you don't, you wouldn't be disappointed if your kid just becomes a farmer, which is something you could do without going to college?
No.
Why do kids go to college?
You don't reverse engineer it. You don't unpack it that way. You go to college in terms of to widen your horizons and see what choices there are out there. Then you make whatever choice you have, which is an informed choice. And if the kid's happy doing that, that's all great. But you can't live your life in reverse. Say, I know how it's going to come out. Now I'm going to reprogram what I did going in because I can do it with less of an investment. I mean, that's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just silly.
Well, of course, clearly this guy has never read Voltaire.
Yeah, well, that's a stretch even for me, but go ahead. I know where you're going, but only because you and I just saw Candide.
Right. You know exactly where I'm going.
I know where you're going. We were having a conversation where I'm the only one who knows where you're going, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, a lot of times you don't know where I'm going, but
yeah, this,
you know, this
that's
time
not
you
inconsistent.
Do. Okay, so tell me, why did I say that?
Why did you say that? Because that's the way that Candide ends, because they spend the whole time traipsing around having these crazy adventures. Trying to find some level of happiness when at the end of the day, even though they've been kings and paupers and everything in between, they find satisfaction by honest work, toiling with the soil, and
Well, he says we must tend our
gardens.
Make our gardens grow. That's the only thing we can do.
Make your gardens grow. Right?
It's a reaction against the philosophy that this is the best of all possible worlds, that everything happens for the good,
right,
and we just have to be happy,
right,
no matter what happens to us, and bad thing after bad thing after bad thing happens.
Right, but yeah.
These people only say, we have no control.
Yeah, I don't know if it's saying we have no control.
We can't change the world.
It's consistent with that. I think it's more...
No one's making these bad things happen to us,
yeah,
right?
Well, look, I think, first of all, at most it's saying that there's a great deal of satisfaction that arises from honest dedication, honest work, and honest production of things. Making an honest living, if you will, and doing something that you think is worthwhile, quite apart from remuneration. That's fine. I don't know how much it says beyond that, but in fairness about Candide and Voltaire, it's not what I would call developed thought. It kind of is deus ex machina. It kind of comes from nowhere. It kind of comes from the sky.
Oh, in terms of the play.
In terms of
a philosophy.
Yeah.
I mean, that is my philosophy.
I'm saying,
can only tend my garden. I can't tend your garden.
I understand.
I can't tend the garden for the whole world. I can only try to live within my scope.
Right.
And do what I can do,
right,
and live according to my...
No, so that resonated with you in a way that perhaps it didn't resonate with everybody else, but my point is...
But it should.
It comes from you as much as it comes from Voltaire, but my point is...
Voltaire and I were great minds.
I don't know how much Voltaire believes that. More to the point, though, you agree with me that the guy who wrote the letter is off base, and which is, I think, what matters most here.
Yeah, the kid's a freshman. Don't freak out.
Well, no.
Anything could happen.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the kid could be a senior. The kid could be a graduate student. They could have sold his possessions on the way to Forum in Istanbul. And don't freak out. I'm not using that as an excuse. Premature or not premature.
We should mention that Candide is by Leonard Bernstein.
Well, the musical by Leonard Bernstein, yeah.
Yeah, the opera.
Yeah.
Operetta.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Which is what makes it worth going to.
And it was a flop when it first came out.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Lillian Hellman wrote the book.
Okay.
You say Bernstein or Bernstein?
I wonder about that myself. I think it's Bernstein.
Okay. So, I mean, we have real powerhouses at work here, and it's still...
I think you can't put Lillian Hellman and Lynn Bernstein in the same sentence in terms of real power.
That's true. That's true. But she is a household name.
No.
She was?
In the Hellman household, she's a household name. But not in the world at large.
Anyway, it's a complicated musical piece.
Yeah, what didn't work was the book by Lillian Hellman. What worked was the music by Leonard Bernstein.
They reworked
that.
My
answer to that is? No surprise.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. And let me go back to this guy. You know, what did Phil say? What was his advice?
Oh, not the greatest.
What did he say?
Well, he goes to Burt Bacharach.
Oh, it's a little
and
short
Hal
of
David.
And
he says, I love Burt Bacharach and Hal David. What right-thinking child of the 70s doesn't? But I have a bone to pick with some lyrics in What the World Needs Now is Love. Namely, Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. Not true. If your son wants to be part of the revolution in sustainable farming and end world hunger, more power to him.
Right. Well, okay. All right. So it feels a little carried away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know why? That's a response that's not...
But he also goes into saying, still you have a point. He who pays the piper calls the tune, as the proverb goes. But did you tell your son before school began it was Goldman Sachs or bust?
Stop right there. Okay. All right? That is a response written by someone who doesn't have a child that age. So you can turn the page.
Okay. On that note, we finished the paper.
Okay?
Okay.
How do we close this?
Signing off.
Okay.
Dan Abuhoff and Tamsin Granger.
Okay, thanks.